From the Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
Hey everybody, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. You're not hearing the usual Rick shtick because he's not here with us tonight. So sitting in instead is Cheryl.
Hi Karen.
Hi Cheryl. You have to actually be on the radio for a whole 2 hours. You think you can handle it?
I'll try. I'll try my best.
I have to thank you for playing the calming music. I think that Cheryl did this for me because what did I tell you as we were going in? I'm feeling how?
You're feeling hyper.
No, I'm feeling slappy.
Oh, slappy. Oh, my God. I got it wrong. Slappy.
I don't know why I'm feeling slappy. It's a good thing I'm sitting in this room by myself, because if somebody walked by, I might slap them. I don't know why. Do you ever feel slappy?
Yeah, don't you love the slap when you feel slappy?
Well, I actually never do it, because, you know, that would be abusive. But, yeah, I'm just feeling slappy tonight.
It's all right. You can be slappy.
I can't really explain it very much. So in a little bit, we are going to be joined by our guest, and that is Robbie Thomas. He is a psychic medium, and that's going to be really cool. I'm looking forward to talking to him. He's got all sorts of interesting things to talk about. Cheryl has his resume, and
He's got a lot of projects going on, it sounds like.
Speaking of projects.
Yes.
We just released a new version of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington.
Woohoo!
I know, and it is the iPad version, and here's what's cool about it, guys. It's the enhanced ebook version. What that means is it's got video and audio and pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know, did I tell you this, Cheryl? It actually took me longer to get it in the enhanced ebook format than it took me to write it.
Well, I knew it took a while because of the specifications that they had, but that, you know what, when I look through it, I thought it looked awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. And so the best part is you can order it for $2.99 on iTunes. Now, I thought it was for all Apple mobile devices, but somebody informed me the other day that she tried to download it for her iPhone, and they said it was for iPad only. So get out and buy that iPad, and then you can get that $2.99.
Okay, so no iPhone, but yes, on the iPad.
Well, yeah, I have it on my iPad, and it's really cool. You open it up, and it starts with a little video, and then you can play EVPs in real time.
That is
wherever
awesome.
You are in the text. So it's really cool. And I have to tell you, it has a little bit of a 2012 update to Wellington too, but I haven't really shared the whole story, and I'm not ready to do that. I've shared it with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to, you know, be real teaser things and then not say anything, but I feel that my time at Wellington, and now my time at Wellington in 2009 was life-changing. And I've always said that. And what did I say to you about this summer?
What did you say about it?
Yeah, it's even more life-changing.
Oh, yeah, that some really amazing things happened, and it's going to blow some people away.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to figure out the best way to tell that story, because it's not the same old stuff that's in Avalanche of Spirits. I can put it this way. My husband, Techie McScience Geek, who is, of course, Mr. Skeptical, we were driving home from Wellington here about 2 weeks ago, and he said, that was one of the most life-affirming things I've ever seen.
Wow. I mean, that's like a big statement coming from Techie McScience Geek.
Oh, he believes it's haunted.
Well, I think that it's an amazing story. I mean, you yourself made a huge personal journey and even a transition.
Oh yeah.
After going there and investigating, you know, over what, the past 2-3 years now.
Well, we started in 2009. This is 2012. Okay. So this is our fourth summer at Wellington.
Wow.
And 2009, 2010. Yeah.
This is our fourth summer. Okay.
Sorry.
Are you using your fingers too when you're counting?
I did. I totally used my fingers to count.
That's all right. I do that
anyway,
all the time.
it's our fourth summer at Wellington, and every summer has been very different from the summer before. And this summer has been just incredible.
Yeah.
And for those people who don't know, and if you listen to the show, I'm not sure how you don't, but for those people who don't know, Wellington is the site of the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States. About 100 people were killed. And it's really, really haunted. It's in Washington State. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you can read about it. You can buy Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, the book, although I would wait for, what, about a week, do you think, Cheryl?
I'd wait for a week to 2 weeks because there is going to be a slightly updated version of the original book put online on Amazon. And it's changed just a little bit. Not, I mean, it still maintains the original, you know, the original writing.
Massaged it a little.
Right, a little massage going on there. So wait for a couple weeks and then check it out.
And we're dropping the price. Are we dropping the price a little bit?
Yeah, the price is being dropped to $9.99. So it was at $12.99, but we decided to go ahead and drop it. So hopefully more people can learn about the story. And in fact, you know, in the future it may go down more, possibly. We'll see.
Yeah, and so here's the other thing is that the Kindle version.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have that worked out now?
Yeah, there's a Kindle version available right now. The price is $2.99.
$2.99, not $299.
No, $2.99. You can download it on your Kindle and read it there.
Elaine in the chat room, who has been a big part of this whole amazing summer at Wellington, just said to me, good luck trying to write about this summer. And she ought to know, boy.
Yeah.
It's, you know what's amazing to me about Wellington, and I know I talk about it a lot, and I just, you know, beg your indulgence, because it's such a wonderful place to me personally.
Yeah.
But is that the people who go up there connect with it, and you find all of these really fascinating connections.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I can tell you one, and I'll tell you this real quickly. We have a few minutes, right?
Yes, we have a few more minutes.
So, and this is one of the things that I told Cheryl. So, for a long time, I've had an affinity for one of the passengers who was on the train, and her name was Nellie McGirl, or Nellie Sharp. She was described as a decidedly stout woman of ebullient, is that how you say that? Ebullient good humor. And that kind of sounds a little bit like me.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a writer. And so I felt an affinity for her. Mm-hmm. So there's been this entity up there this year that I've never encountered before. And it's a really big dude who I believe his nickname is Bear. And he's right there in my space, like ridiculously in my space. I can feel him stroke my face. And
wow.
He'll say to me, he'll whisper in my ear, you know me, you know me, you know me. So I was up there with a friend who was a psychic medium. And I will only identify that person if they allow me to.
Yeah.
And a very, very accurate psychic medium. This is the first time this person's been up there. They've never read anything about Wellington. They very decidedly avoided everything about Wellington until they went up because they wanted to get their own impressions.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy Bear came up to me while I was there, and I said, I gotta know, who on earth do you think, who does he think I am?
Mm-hmm.
And the psychic said, Nels.
What? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Hmm. So, for me, anyway, other than mangling, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. You know what? Siri has just recorded the last forever, that's hilarious, of this conversation and put it in a text to my friend Patty Valdez.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. Except it said something about yertle, and I'm pretty sure I didn't use the word yertle.
I'm pretty sure you didn't. No.
Oh my god. So anyway, so because to me it was really fascinating, and I felt this affinity, and have never told anybody about this affinity that I have for this woman Nellie Sharp,
mm-hmm.
and then for the psychic to come out and say Nels.
I mean, that's to me amazing. How would she even come across that
name?
That
was like that, and to tell you the truth, that was like one of the least amazing things.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot more going on there.
There's a lot going on there. You know, it's going to be, if you're anywhere in the Pacific Northwest, you're going to be able to get into Wellington for probably another 8 to 10 weeks. Just depends on how long our summer holds out. But usually we see snow in November. Get up there if you can. You can contact me on Facebook if you don't know how. I want people to go. So,
what's your Facebook?
Karen Frazier. You can find me through Pug, on Pug's Facebook too.
Paranormal Underground.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That would it be.
So, okay. Anyway, people are texting me as I'm talking to you. I'm so glad I didn't send that whole thing to Patty. Patty just texted me back and said, "Damn it, Siri." Anyway, so let's do this. Now that I've prattled on for the last 15 minutes, see what happens when Rick isn't here and I get to talk?
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Awesome, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, so we will, we will be back in just a couple minutes. We'll be talking with Robbie Thomas. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
First there came radio, and it was good. Then it got bad. Then there came satellite radio, and it was okay. Then it got too expensive and kind of sucked. Now there is something new, something better, something free. Stitcher Radio for the iPhone and BlackBerry. With Stitcher, you can hear all the shows and podcasts you can imagine, rate them, and build your own station. No downloading, no syncing, no problem. Just pick a station to get started, like American News and Politics. Now, look at the shows you have to pick from, pick one, and start listening. Like it, make a favorite, and start your own station. Don't like it? Thumb it down and say bye-bye to shows like it. Or thumb it up to find more like it. Plus, you can search and find your favorite podcasts. We have over 1,000 shows to pick from. Stitcher Radio, the natural evolution in audio listening. And it's free.
On the go and missing another one of your favorite Z-Talk shows? Now you don't have to. Simply go to the Google Play Store on your Android phone and download the Z-Talk Radio app. The best part is, it's absolutely free. That's Z-Talk Radio. Only found in your Google Play Store on your Android phone. Download it today.
If you are a small business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
In her riveting novel, Break in the Beyond, writer Kim Casey brings to life a supernatural tale filled with mystery, humor, and intrigue. Kim's suspenseful story focuses on Risa, a compassionate social worker who assists Owen, a young psychiatric patient. Is a 300-year-old entity speaking through Owen, or does he simply possess multiple personalities? Visit awningpublishing.ca to order your copy of Breaking the Beyond. That's A-H-N-E-E-N publishing.ca.
Identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. It's Karen Frazier, and I'm here with Cheryl Knight. Welcome back, Cheryl.
Hey, good to be back.
Oh, you know, this is so funny. I know we're going to go to our guest really quickly, but I'm looking in our chat room. And somebody said something about something hugs to somebody in the chat room, and it covered it up and did, like, the swear words. And I thought, well, what kind of hugs is she sending? It was cyber.
Yeah, it didn't block it for me. I can see it. It says, hey, I sent cyber
totally
hugs.
It blocked it for me. I guess I'm that puritanical.
Strange. Cyber's a bad word, apparently.
Okay, so Cheryl.
Yeah, so
we have our guest.
We do.
And we have an introduction.
We have our guest on the line, ready to go, and I do have a brief introduction here. We have with us Robbie Thomas, and he is a best-selling author as well as a psychic medium. He's authored 5 books, and his latest release is Time Shift the Paradigm, which we're looking forward to hearing all about. He has also co-contributed to 3 other titles with different authors. And he also has a book, I think it's coming out, or it may be out right now, called Parasylum. He's also a screenwriter. He has created and will host a new TV series we'll talk about called Psychic Profile. That I believe that's currently in development with a production company, and I think that production company has produced the show Rescue Mediums as well. And Robbie has done work as a psychic profile, and so we'll spend some time talking about what that is and what's all involved with being a psychic profile. He's assisted.
Wait, he's a psychic profile or a psychic profiler?
Profiler.
Oh, I was going to say because, you know. I'm not sure what a psychic profile would be.
add an R on the end of
okay,
that,
and we're
good to go. But yeah, he's assisted law enforcement with missing person cases as well as murder cases. And he's also helped families who are looking for answers to cold cases and even active cases. So we want to welcome Robbie Thomas. Hi, Robbie.
Hello, guys. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. So, we're out of time because your resume took so long, so thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Good night, everybody.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, that'd be funny.
That was really true. No, we have a couple more hours. If we do that, it was me because we were trying to get rid of you. So, I want to start with your latest book, Time Shift.
Time Shift, the Paradigm.
What is a time shift?
What is the gig with the time shift? Okay, the precedence of this was I was writing a movie script by the same name, and in doing so, I was in collaboration with Mark Tillman and Don Hutchison. Now, Mark Tillman works with Stephen King and done It. He's done RoboCop, MacGyver, the list goes on and on and on. Dead Zone just goes on and on. And so that was called Parasylum Paradox, which I heard was mentioned, and it's coming out on Halloween, the book is. So they had the scripts, and I'm looking at Time Shift, and I was writing the script out. So I made a notation on March 2nd on my Facebook page, and I put in kind of like arrow brackets, panic. And I make the, not assumption, but I'm saying apocalyptic, you know, yada, yada, yada. And then March 10 of 2011, I make more innuendos of who the characters are, where they are in the world, Peru, America, Canada, the Black Abyss. I talk about movement in the earth. And then I call and talk to Don Hutchison on the phone that day, and I said, I want to plug in 9.0 earthquake off the coast of Japan. And also put in a huge tsunami that goes either way. And 100 feet just comes right through to the United States and takes out Japan with the Black Abyss. And he loved it. He said, that'll be really horrific.
So this was before, clearly.
This was the day before. This was, yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. So March 11th rolls around, and everybody knows what happened. It was on the news. What's good about everything is it's all date stamped. It's all been noted. It's all been corroborated. And I took the story without malice. And then I decided to pay homage to the people in Japan. But then I'm sitting with this story. What do? I just can't get rid of it. It's almost done. I decided, well, I'm going to do the book. And I'm going to reverse everything. I'm going to twist it and make it a fictional story, which I did.
Mm.
Now, there's three synchronicities in this book that'll really make you go, even more so. I play big on the Mayan calendar. I talk about the part that's missing and how we can continue the message, who's all involved. And I released the book May 10th of this year. Now, you can go Google right now and say, Mayan calendar.
I can go found. Google myself.
You can go Google yourself. Giggle and Google. You can Google Mayan calendar. And when it was found, they found the new Mayan calendar May 10th, the day I released my book.
Wow. So when they found the new Mayan calendar, does that mean we are not going to die?
Yeah, absolutely.
It Sweet.
Yeah, it goes the 13th cycle complete. Absolutely.
So can I make a comment and ask you a question really quickly about, because what you're telling me and what you're describing about what happened with you coming up with this story for this book reminds me a lot of the book about the Titanic.
Right.
Do you know the one I'm talking about where the guy describes the ship Titan that's unsinkable and he wrote it like 50 years before the actual Titanic?
And it happened.
Yeah. And so that's what that brought to mind when you were talking about that. Did you think about the parallels between those two things when this all sort of came to fruition?
It struck me once because it's happened many times before. I was on another example. I was on the phone with 14-time award-winning film producer Ronald Busby, and he's good friends with Clive Barker. And when I started explaining to him about a whole mountainside caving in, and I seen a whole village going, he was on stage. He was going on stage, and he says, "We'll talk about this tomorrow." And then he called me, and he goes, "Look, put on CNN." And sure enough, the mountain caved in the Philippines, and over 4,000 people were buried. That was
Would you write a story about me winning the lottery?
I could write a story about you buying a lot of tickets and never winning.
No,
I'm sorry.
I don't really buy tickets.
What about me?
Your luck would be better served on the Titanic. I'm just kidding.
Will I win the lottery?
Oh, you never know.
Okay, so, I'll take it.
Is this some kind of a precognition that you have, or are you having it in dreams? Do you realize as it's happening that you're coming up with a story that's actually going to take place, or do you just think it's like your creative juices are flowing and then you're just as shocked as anybody else when it happens?
Well, I felt, and I used this term on different programs I've been on, is I've been duped. And, seeing it, and it was playing out like realism to me, so I type it out like as I'm going.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And then all of a sudden, like I said, that all that notation, and then it did happen March 11th. When I said that Black Abyss, well, we all remember that big black wave coming over the wall, and, it was terrible. And so that's what you get. And then the synchronicities of this book and the life of it is, again, the precognition of the premonition, the before, the Mayan calendar, the day it was released on the 10th, the book came out on the 10th, that day they found the Mayan calendar, just, unbelievable. And just, I'm talking in the book about parallel universe and how it merges with ours. It's a mirrored image. So on the other side of the mirrored image in the book, we see our world and the other universe that's exactly like ours. About a month and a half ago, scientists have found and my book is out now, prior to this as well, scientists have found a parallel universe that is exactly mimicking ours.
Really?
So there's the three synchronicities, and it's just, sitting here dumbfounded. And
I was going to say, so does this become commonplace for you, or does it continue to shock you when it happens?
It's both. I mean, it took me back. I mean, when that day the earthquake was 8.9, and we were sitting here, the phone rang, and it was Don on the phone, and then other producers and whatever, and then all of a sudden on the news they changed it to 9.0. I mean, my heart fell, And it took about a week or two for me to gather myself and everybody around us, because it was just like, how did this, you just don't, can't pick that out of a hat and the exact place and write about it, and it happens.
Well, but it happened with the Titanic.
Then it happened with the Titanic.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's happened with other things too. I mean, you know, I wonder how many people have done something like that and then just been like, oh crap, I'm not going to release this book now. Because there have been other coincidences along that same line where people write about something or show or create a movie or some work of art, and then later it comes to fruition.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, is that just life imitates art?
I think that is on the level of almost, you could say, ley lines uh-huh. and within your parallel self, as we have them on our earth here. It's amazing, because information is the freeway and it travels, and we're all energy, and we absorb what we can, what's given to us in that time frame or that situation. And it just happened to be that time frame and that situation, and I wrote about it.
So do you think that this could happen to anybody then, really? Or do you think that you have to have some kind of special abilities to be able to, I mean, not that I would want that to happen. Good Lord, I wouldn't want to write about some terrible tragedy and then have it come true, because that would just be too darn freaky. I actually have this thing where I have premonitions about train derailments and earthquakes, and they're right. So, I mean, and I don't like that. It makes me feel like there's a certain responsibility there, even though I know that I'm not causing it. But do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. It, you know, I don't think you need any degree or any specifics or how rich you are or how poor you are. It's just the moment of when spirit or when that information, that energy is given and dispersed, it is obtained by you or whoever is the catalyst at that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. So you have this ability. Now let's talk about some of the other abilities that you have. Are you a remote viewer? Tell me what you do. Tell me the different things that you do.
Yeah, you could say remote viewing. I've done remote viewing, where there was a case I did in Kentucky in 2007. I'm in Canada. It was the day before Canada Day, which is like your holiday, the July 4th Independence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I actually grew up just like 60 miles south of the Canadian border, so I know all the Canadian holidays.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, I had a backyard full of people, and I get this phone call, and they mailed me a little picture of this little boy. And I said no, and my wife said, no, you got to go back in and do this, so I did. I sat down for about, I'm just going to estimate here, about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and coming up with what took place, looking through the eyes of the murderer, where the body was, him being a repeat offender, and then getting really into the details, and then I went from present to middle to the end, and it's horrific when you look at stuff like that.
What does that do to you psychologically? How do you not have post-traumatic stress?
Oh, you know, I live with this daily. I wake up all night long. It's been years of doing this. You know, just knowing I got the murderer's name, and, you know, we fed it to the police, and they went and knocked on the door, and that's all they did. And then, well, the boy was dead. And,
right.
You know, but we caught the guy and put him on death row. So, I mean, you know, if there's a consequence, you know, if that's it and that's the lesser of the god, then that's what it is. We got him.
So how do you get the police to listen to you in that case? Sorry, Cheryl.
That's okay. Go ahead.
You know, I don't know. People say you built up a reputation, and, you know, there's people out there who hate me, and there's people who love me. You know, I'm there for the families, and I'm not there for the joy of people liking me or not, because I really don't care. I'm there for helping families and families, mm-hmm. you know, period. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the little girl who went missing here close to my hometown, and I seen her go missing days before she did. And so I'm sitting with the family detective in the precinct, and they got my pictures and what have you. And sure enough, they found her in the tree line right by the big pile of rocks, and they were looking for a woman. But I said they were looking for a man and a woman. And now the case just finished, and she pleaded guilty, and he got sentenced to life, and they're both behind bars. But it doesn't bring back the little one. But it gives that little bit, I believe, to the families. And you asked earlier, how do I circumvent myself psychologically. And well, you know, I pray a lot. You know, I ask for guidance quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And this is the way I do it. It's a very difficult thing. So getting into looking at the aspect, I go directly to the families, and that's where I find my core. And when I sit with them, it's almost like I'm part of their family. And then we can discuss, they can vent to me, I can listen to what they're saying, what they really want, and we give the information, and the police look at it, and sure enough, you know, this is where we are, right?
Sure.
And then, you know, I'm sitting, what the biggest thing was, what blew me away is we're filming down in Kentucky, the pilot to a new series I'm going to be in, and there's America's Most Wanted film crew. And Bill's the head guy who's filmed, you know, almost 300 episodes with John, turns to me and goes, "We know all about you." And it was like, oh my God, you know, it's just, here we are, and all I just want to do is just to help the families. And they do a great service. They do a fantastic service, those people. You know, if it's helping families out, that's A1 in my book.
Well, I can understand that. So I want to ask you really quickly, because I think that I just have to. You know, of course, that I research my guests when I come on. And you said that you don't care what people think about you. But there's a lot of there's a site that's really negative about you. How do you respond to that, and how do you deal with that?
Okay, here's my I'm going to call it an explanation, but here's the truth behind it. The All one right. who did the site was on my Facebook page. A mother's little daughter went missing, was murdered. Mm-hmm. He made a rude comment. I booted him off my Facebook page. He told me from that moment on, he would write everything bad, negative about me. And there you go. You got the page. Now, you see there's stuff in there about some guy wrote a manifest up, and it depicted me as a real bad person, what have you.
It's pretty awful.
But you got to realize this, okay? A lot of people don't know the truth. And that guy who did that is serving 6.5 years in jail now.
Really?
The reason why is he made one omission in his manifest where he says, "Don't believe Robbie Thomas saying I'm a child molester." Well, his daughter read it, and his daughter called the cops. And he's serving 6.5 years in Australia. He's going to be deported back to the United States, and he's got time to serve there too, because he molested another child, another stepchild of his that's in the States.
Wow.
So I'm not the bad guy. I mean, I'm there, I'm doing my stuff. These people might not like what I do, but you know what? They're the evil ones. What can I say?
Yeah. Cheryl, you had a question?
Yeah, I did. I was just thinking back to when you were describing the process of...
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt you, but...
That's okay.
I just, because he is a felon. He's in jail. His name was John Victor Ramsey's, and that's not his real name, because I worked with the U.S. Marshals in getting his real name. His real name is John Plattner. He is a convicted sexual offender. So when he's there in jail now, as he is, and his wife has been in touch with me, you know, many times through letters, whatever. So I have everything to back it up. But here's the thing, girls. I do not have to let this out to the public in order to prove myself. So, you know, I look at my site where I have letters from families saying thank you, endorsements, which prove me to the public, I guess, on a situation where they want to need to know that's who I am.
Well, go ahead, Cheryl.
I was just going to say, I can imagine what it's like to put yourself out there and then have, you know, false accusations, you know, launched at you. And what can you do? I mean, you can only say what the truth is and then let it go and move on, I suppose. But I can only imagine how hard it is when you're trying to help families and then you're, you know, you're getting all of this stuff thrown at you that's very negative. Very negative.
Oh, you know, it really doesn't bother me. Here's the thing.
That's good.
It gets people like you reading that, coming, asking me questions to find out the truth. The truth is I have nothing to hide.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I'm working with America's Most Wanted film crew, I'm working with award-winning film production company Lamport & Shepard, I'm working with all these different integral individuals and police, that says something right there, doesn't it?
Sure. So, go ahead, Cheryl. Did you have another question?
Oh, well, just going back to when Robbie was talking about the process of of what kind of abilities he has. I was wondering, when you're kind of channeling through the eyes of the perpetrator, do you pick up on the emotions of just the perpetrator or of all everybody who's involved in the case, I guess?
Yeah, I pick up on everybody. Okay. You know, it's amazing because there's cases where there's one person, three people, eight people involved. You know, and it's very disheartening again because, you know, there's a case at Christmas time just passed. The mom comes straight out and asked me, you know, where's my boy? And I went down to the waterfront and I said, he's right in there. Mm-hmm. And I keep all text messages, all emails, everything. You know, again, it's all backup for me. You know, one day I'll probably write a book and let everybody see the truth, what's all going on. But, you know, there he is. And then that afternoon, the OPP, which is the Ontario Provincial Police, did diving. It's on YouTube. And they did diving, and they did the helicopter drone, snapping shots and doing x-ray of the water. They just missed him. 2 months later, he popped up about 1,000 feet downriver while he floated, and his gases in his body. But he was right there. Because I was the bearer of bad news, and I totally understand this, and it hurts to hear the truth. You know, it's something where, you know, the mom now is understanding, and I feel for her. I really do. That was her boy, mm-hmm. and it was her only boy. You know, right. and I cannot. You know, I know he died of other hands. There's an investigation going on. It's very tough, you know, so I can't say bad things about people who, you know, who are hurting because there's no bad thing to say. It's just, you know, it's very difficult for a mom.
Everybody handles grief and pain in different
ways. Yes, it is. And
yes,
it's hard.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hate to give any bad news, like, you know, anything. I can't tell people anything bad because I always just feel so terrible. So I can't imagine saying that to somebody and telling somebody something like that because I would probably – I had to fire somebody once, and she wound up comforting me saying, it's okay, it's okay. Because oh, yeah. I was like, I'm sorry.
So, yeah.
So if that tells you anything. So tell me this. Because I'm always interested about this when I talk to people who are psychics and psychic mediums. How do you differentiate psychic information from just your thoughts or your imagination or any of those things?
Yeah, that's a good question. The difference is this. When I see something, it's like you're sitting in the same room as me. Like my daughters, they're very apt to this as well. And I'll give you a good example. I live in a very haunted home. Now, my one daughter, she's...
Me too.
Yeah, we all pretty much do, don't we? If it's not the plumbing, it's the fridge. But, you know, making the noises. But anyways, my daughter was 14 at the time. She's sitting with me on the couch. And adjacent from us is the entrance to the kitchen. Now, my wife and my other daughters are on the other couch. And their backs are kind of to it, the kitchen. And we've seen the woman come. She stopped in the middle. Looked at us and then continued on. I looked over at Jessie and I said, did you see that? And she says, did you? So when it's real like that, like visual. It's being played out as real. I get stuff in dreams. I get stuff in more so of the visual, like I've just described to you. It happens mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. You know, the notations of, again, doing the 9.0 or the mountain coming down or, you know, other things. And looking at a very prominent radio program, I'm swinging this way right now, where even this guy has dissed me. Now get this, because I would not be his guru on his radio show. I just don't bow down to people. I just don't like it. You know, people try to put the thumb on you and you can't do it. I know I'm a humble fella and I do what I do, but you know what? There's a point. His producer went missing. They had the Hamilton, Florida County Police issue a missing report. They had this one well-known individual who, and I hate the term psychic. I have to put it to people who use benchmark to know who you are. But he said he was dead in a hotel room, so they called me up. And I said, he's not dead. He'll call you in 3 days. He's alive. And he's just really ticked because you passed him up for a promotion. And the letter's right on my page. You can read it right there. It says, thank you so much. You were right about Corey, yada, 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 yada. And, you know, it's amazing because you look at stuff like that and it's visual. I see it. Like if we were sitting down having a cup of coffee together.
So as I was thinking about the thing with Japan happened when you were writing. Do you think that that was a form of automatic writing, perhaps, as a way of getting your information?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you touched upon that point. Doing that and doing the automatic hand drawing in for the police, like in the Cannell case, the diagrams and writing stuff down, is like when you take tunnel vision and you just focus on what is at that moment, what you're putting down, but you're not really seeing it. And everything around you is just gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So Jackie in the chat room wants to know how you remember the dream part. And that's a good question because sometimes I wake up from dreams and they are so clear and I've got them. And sometimes sometimes they're clear and 10 minutes later they're gone. So do you write them down right away? What do you do so that you can remember these things?
You know, I came accustomed of my own doing. I used to have a forums from 1990, roughly 695 to the year 2004, before I had my own radio show from 2004 to 2008. And people used to come. I had almost little over 10,000 members. I used to teach them how to take your dreams, write them down in a journal, you know, make footnotes and keep notations like that. And then sooner or later, they will come as vivid as a memory to an individual because it's almost like practice. What you see, you keep putting it in front of your face, you'll remember what that is in front of you and how it's done. So it just becomes second nature with me. Seeing the dream is, and then waking up, having all the information. And over time, you know, I will admit, it will disperse, say, you know, a day later or 2 days later, and become a different type of venue for you. Yourself, because then you're guessing, well, is this more or less this way, or did this happen, you know, at this time? But at that moment, waking up, it's clear as a bell.
Yeah, and see, mine are clear when I wake up, but and sometimes it's like I wake up and I think, okay, I'll remember this, and so maybe I go back to sleep for a few minutes, and I wake up and I'm like, damn, it's gone. So
lucid dreaming.
Yeah, well, so how is that something that anybody can learn to do, the lucid dreaming?
Yeah, it's a point again of like recurrent dreams. Recurrent dreaming is we have that occasional, you know, here we are again, and then you have the lucid dreaming where you can take yourself out of the then and now, wake up, and then replant yourself into the dream where you want to. You could train yourself to do that. It's pretty amazing how people can literally, you know, almost like secondhand nature, just go back into a dream, start fresh from where it is, and continue on, change the course and the pattern of their dream as well.
Yeah, you know, I've always wondered about lucid dreaming. I think that I do it sometimes accidentally, but I've never done it intentionally. So I'm going to kind of go down the list of different types of psychic abilities, and you can just tell me whether you got them or not. You ready?
Sure.
All right, so we've got the automatic writing and the automatic drawing down as a check, right?
Okay.
Clairaudience?
Hearing, yes.
Yes. Do you have clairvoyance?
Seeing.
Yeah, so that's a yes.
Yes.
You're clearly a medium.
Mm-hmm.
Clairsentience?
You know, all these titles are fantastic for the individuals who are trying to learn.
Yeah.
And when I was a child, and, you know, my mom said to me at age 3, well, what are you going to be when you grow up? Yada, yada, yada. And I said, Mom, I'm going to be in the movies. I'm going to write books and I'm going to Hollywood. That's 3 years old.
Yeah.
And look what, you know, I've done. And then, you know, talking about life on other planets and, you know, what about the other angels and when they're coming back and stuff like this. You know, I even told her very day that she was going to die, which was a total mistake.
Oh.
Yeah, I ripped my heart out. It's coming September 17th up here right now, 1994.
When you were a kid?
When I was in my 20s.
Oh, my.
And, you know, the day the day of, I said, this is your day, and they visited me. But, you know, going down this list of names of mm-hmm. titles and whatever, if you have ability, mm-hmm. you should just have ability, period. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, I've never learned anything. I never had a teacher when I was a kid growing up. I mean, the shadow guys were in my room. Yeah. People were visiting me. They're coming. I never said, wait a minute, I'm clairaudient right to now.
Right. No, it's more about recognizing how you get your information. And so clearly you're very dialed into that. And a lot of people are. But I also know, and I work with a lot of people who are learning about their abilities. And I'm around a lot of those people who are learning. One of my friends actually teaches classes to help people recognize their abilities. And I do know that that for some people, understanding how the information comes, they may all of a sudden realize they've gotten it all their lives. They just didn't know what it was.
No, how it was. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, and so that's why I ask you about that.
That's okay.
I have a question about that real quick. So do you think it is possible for people who don't necessarily have or realize they have psychic abilities early in life that they start to maybe develop later in life for, I don't know, any particular reason?
Yeah, good question. You know, in my very first book, I talk about abilities. And I talk about intuition versus ability. Mm-hmm. The baby steps in intuition. You think of a song, and a song pops on the radio. You sure. think that the phone's going to ring, and you just look over at it, and it rings. Mm-hmm. You're thinking of a friend you've never seen in years, and all of a sudden you bump into him or her at Radio Shack or in the mall. These are just baby steps in intuition. We all have them. Mm-hmm. People just tend to take what little steps I'm giving you right now to show you and dismiss those for just coincidence.
Right.
But they're actually intuition and the foundation of who you are. Everyone has the ability. It's just that some people are more apt and more willing to accept that they're so open to everything in life, like just not religion, but I'm talking spiritual. I'm talking every faith, everybody, and loving life itself. And you know, when people have barriers and ego and all these things that tie them down, well, then they become more earthly, and they don't really have that persona of saying, you know, I just can't get it. You know what I mean? It's like some people say, I can't remember my dream. Well, you know, it's just time and patience and love.
Mm, okay.
And it's trust. And you know, the other thing, here's what I discovered, and I'm sure that you'll have something to say about this, is that one of the main things to using your abilities is that you have to step aside. Your ego has no role in intuition and psychic. Would you agree with that, or do you disagree?
Absolutely. No, I totally agree. I'm going to slip this in a little bit. Everybody needs a little bit of ego, just for this very one reason, because every day you have to pick yourself up. You have to take yourself and say, I love me. And
sure.
And if you didn't have that, then you're like a rag doll hanging in misery. You know,
ego defines the I.
Right.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. But once you start working in the psychic realm and you have this great sense of I, what I've found is that if I intrudes, I don't get true information.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no I in team.
And I think that that's something that's a very hard thing to teach, because I stumbled on it accidentally. Because I am a huge egomaniac. I have a very big ego. Always have. And also have always had these intuition and abilities. And I would work so hard because, by God, I had to get this and it had to be right. And the second that I stopped having to be right, and the second I stopped thinking, oh my God, I have to work really hard at this to get this, there it was.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's my experience anyway.
No, and that's being your true self. You know,
yeah.
If you can sit there and what you did, and which is a good thing, admit to yourself and having the admittance and knowing that you can have the acceptance at the same time, you know, you're moving down the right path. And, you know, we're all here for one reason, and that's to love each other and to move forward in this life. We only have so much time, and if you're going to be stuck in the I, as you call it, and I call it the void, you know, you're going to have a hard time in the end when you finally realize that it's all been a lie to you. So, you know, it's time to understand, absorb what's proper.
Right. Well, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about psychic abilities and what the source of, because I think we've both just agreed that these types of abilities, intuition, whatever you want to call it, and I know that it labeling it stinks, but that's how we discuss things. and so where does it come from? Do you believe it's the Edgar Cayce model where everything is just there and we tap into it, or where does the information come from?
You know, I've had the opportunity to work with great figures like guy who developed your Homeland Security, and he's the inventor of ordnance they use in Iraq and Afghanistan. And then I worked with another guy who helped in the PSYOPs in the American Army. And I look at the scientific field, and I look at how they gather their information, and it's a team effort. And then I look at the fact of, you know, who we are and how we can, you know, mold everything together. So, you know, for me, the circumference of everything, and that's everyone included. Mm-hmm. You know, I can only give you that type of answer because that's how I feel.
I understand what you're saying. It's coming from the collective is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's coming from who we are when we're not, who we are outside of our bodies and our individual identities. Is that what
right.
you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't come from one source or the other. What it comes from is everything. We are a vast amount of energy, and we are a spiritual being, all of us. We're genealogically yes. tied. It's something that we belong to, something more bigger than we are. So we are children, and we're learning. So again, it comes to the fact that what you just mentioned, that it's not one source, it's outside the body, and it's almost like saying, take that commitment and say, there is no commitment. So then you feel free. So it's like everybody. I hope you understand right. that. Yeah.
Well, so I think it's really interesting because you also mentioned science. And one of the things that we get that when you hear, and I don't like the word skeptic, but when you hear a cynic or a disbeliever, an absolute, somebody who says, no, these abilities don't exist and things, and they always say, well, it's not scientifically feasible. And yet, if you have any kind of vague understanding of what we are at our smallest level, which is on a quantum level, I believe that it is very possible, because what quantum physics tell us is that we are exactly what you say. At our very tiniest level, we are all energy. And you and I are made up of the same stuff as the grass and the rocks and the trees and my computer and my desk and, you know, and all of that. And so I always wonder how a cynic can say, oh, well, these things aren't possible because it's not scientifically feasible. And yet look at the information, and I understand that quantum physics is very difficult to understand. I know I wrote an article about it for the magazine once, but still, if you have any basic understanding of that, I don't know how they can say that science and kind of spiritual practice, which is what I believe psychic ability is a spiritual practice, are not moving towards the same answers, just from different directions.
Oh, they are. And you know, here's the biggest thing I had a little giggle over was, in the news, the scientist was crying because he found the particle of God. I mean, we needed a scientist to do a test tube test to find out that there was enough energy to quantumly say that is the particle of God. I mean, you didn't have to tell me that.
Oh, well, they built a great big huge ring under the earth to prove that, to find the God
yeah,
particle.
I know.
So they spent billions of dollars.
Could have paid off some type of deficit or something.
Yeah, really. Well, no, but you know what? I actually think the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider, is a really, really, really cool thing. So, because as much as I approach life in a very spiritual manner. I am a total science geek. Totally. Right. So, and I think you can be both. And I have a lot of people say to me, how can you be both? How can you have a belief in science and believe in ghosts and souls? And then I get it from the other side too, because I have the very religious people say to me, how can you reconcile? You grew up Christian. How can you reconcile what you do now with your religion? So do you get those kinds of questions?
Well, I say, you know, you're the one calling me to help you find your daughter, and you're a Christian based family in the Bible Belt. You don't believe in me, but you're calling me. You know, it's amazing. And then, you know, I work with scientists like Michael Esposito. I'm sure you heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, deep into science. You know, you started with me in Dead Whisper and in the Sally House movie. Now, he's pure science, and he's seen things when we were together where we washed hand in hand, and it was amazing. Don Hutchison is another one, IBM inventor. He's the one who does Homeland Security. He's the one who's built those ordnance. They use pure science. This guy, you know, followed me, different murder cases I've done, just to see how I was doing them. And, you know, he believes in spirit and God. But, you know, then you look at the fact, here's a scientist like that, and there's another scientist like this. And then you have me, who believes in every faith, every religion. I don't knock anybody. And I believe in God, and I believe in spirit, and I just believe in everybody. You know, when mm-hmm. people, when they asked me a question one time during an interview, they said, what's your main source you draw your strength from? I said, people.
Fair enough. Cheryl, got any questions?
Oh, well, yeah, I do.
You're being so quiet.
Honestly, I got caught up in listening. Sorry. I was just listening.
You're on that, Cheryl. You're
yes.
All
right. Woo. How about this? How about if we take a quick break, come back? I do have a couple of questions.
Can you stick around for another segment, Robbie?
Oh, you got me.
Awesome. Okay. So we'll go to break, and we will be back in just a minute or two. This is Paranormal Underground Radio. I forgot the name of the show.
Paranormal Underground.
Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. Stick around.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Everyone, my name is Derek Whitesky Cloud. I'm a psychic medium and paranormal investigator, and I do have a radio show called Between Two Worlds Radio on Z-Talk Radio. Z-Talk, I'm on Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 Central, 10 Eastern. I would love to have you folks join us in the chat room. I would love to hear you there.
As proud members of our tribe, we hold many things sacred, and nothing is more important than our kids. But when we smoke around them, we put them at risk. Secondhand smoke causes low birth weight babies, sudden infant death syndrome, chronic ear infections, coronary heart disease, pneumonia, bronchitis, emphysema, asthma, and other respiratory diseases. For our kids to join in the dance, we have to hold them sacred. When you smoke, don't do it around them. Thank you.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. I am your host, Karen Frazier. Sitting in with me tonight for Rick is Cheryl Knight, and our guest is psychic medium Robbie Thomas. Robbie, we were talking over the break, and you mentioned something, and so I thought I would just ask it on the air so that you could say what you need to say. And that's that one of the things that people do mention is that you make money off these families for whom you're doing the readings and the police work for.
Well, you know, that's very, I'd be a millionaire, wouldn't I? No, seriously. If they can come up with, and I'm putting this out there to those who say this, if you can come up, and I'm a registered business, Robbie Thomas Offices is a registered trademark business. If you can come up with a piece of paper that states my name, my banking information whatsoever, that's stamped on any legitimate piece of paper that I've accepted any money whatsoever for any case, any police operation, anything, I'll be the first to come back on the show and say, I'm sorry I lied to you guys, but I've never accepted one dime from nobody. I've never accepted anything in doing a murder case for a family or a police officer or reward for anything whatsoever. It all comes out of my own pocket. That's a no.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Categorical denial there, folks.
Yes, absolutely.
So the Sally House.
Yes.
People in the chat room are interested. Proceed.
When I was on tour in 07, I did stops in like New Orleans and Indiana and Kentucky. I was invited by Michael Esposito to come to Kansas. So he said, you stop in Kansas, we'll do a tour stop. And then I hooked up with a film producer who asked me if you would mind filming me for a 5-minute short. Well, it turned out to be the movie, the Sally House movie. And it's a nice little rendition of what goes on in the house and what have you. You actually hear me say, you know, I don't believe that Sally was ever in that area. We even did a background check afterwards and in the vicinity from a year before all this goings on to a year after, there was, back in the early 1900s, there was no Sally. There was nobody registered Sally, nobody with the name Sally. You know, and then you hear me say, you know, there's a lot of spirits in the home. Well, any home can have spirits. Demonic, you know, I had people come from all over Canada and the States down there. I mean, we had a huge tour stop. A lot of people were there. There was nothing demonic. You know, malice happening. So, you know, you look at stuff like that and you see me in the film. I'm talking, sure, we cut voices. Sure, we got a few things. The cameraman got spooked, but it was nothing really what's been depicted in, you know, other features.
Okay. Yeah. So something going on there, but not necessarily the horrible demonic stuff. And I asked you this on the break, and I'll ask you this on the air as well. So what do you think of the whole claims anywhere, any place of demons and demonic activity?
I believe that there are spirits, people who are harsh and say bad people who pass on. I don't believe in demons.
So are you saying if you're a douche in life, you're a douche in death?
No, you know, there's people out there who are bad. I've been in places where
sure.
You hear me talking and I said, you know, you're murdered here. And she was playing with the little girl. The ceiling fan was going 90 miles an hour. I mean, there was a light. There was no light bulb. I mean, we've got this. And you hear me talking. She was making these weird mimic noises and dogs barking at all the recorders. But there was no dogs in the home or around the house. And then finally, when they started talking about being murdered, you hear her say the truth. And it's on tape. And then everything from the cold breath and the cold air in that corridor just lifted. So it's just somebody who wanted to have the understanding in that type of scenario. And, mm-hmm. you know, then you get to the people who are bad, who hang around, want answers. And I call it they poke you, because if you're not paying attention, they're the poke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I really, really do. So where do we go when we die?
We go to what people call heaven, sanctuary. We're not dismissed by God whatsoever. Some people think, well, there's hell, isn't there? We're living it. I mean, take a look around you. If this was not hell, we wouldn't let our brothers and sisters in Africa starve to death. We would not let what's going on, the oppression in the Middle East. We would not let what's going on in our very own backyards, in our own countries, people living in the streets and stuff. This is our hell.
So if this is hell, why are we here?
We come to this place as a learning ground. I've heard that term before, and I'm going to use that right now for lack of a better term.
Okay.
You know, and when we go back, we have the choice to come here or stay there. You know, when my mom died and when I was explaining to you how I told her that day she was going to die and she told me to go home and they got the phone call. And I remember her little purple socks and then doing CPR and everything. She visited me and she told me it was okay. And I remember seeing her. It was like a vision. Like I said, again, not dreaming, but it was a vision. And she was telling me everything was fine, and she was doing the thing that she loved, and that was shopping. And so she went and she was shopping, and she was showing me what she was doing. And it was so, it was different. The feeling was like so light, and there was not a care in the world, because everything that was around me and her and everywhere was of us. And so we were like part of one. It was amazing.
So do we come back?
We come back. Like in,
yeah, like reincarnation. Do we come back?
Absolutely. I used to tell my mom about my other father, and I knew this bothered my father. Now, when I was a child, and when reincarnates get to a certain point in time, they are a very strong draw to that area. So I died when I was around six, my first time, and well, that I can remember was my first time as a child. And
Say again about a strong draw to an area, because I sort of missed it. Say it again. I'm sorry.
Okay. When you're a reincarnate and say you pass in a life prior to this life, there's a certain focal point where it is a strong draw and you have those feelings. So a few years prior to that, a few years after that, you would have what I would call like the recollection of everything as vivid and there as you were living it. Mm-hmm. So as a young child growing up, I would talk about my other father and how him and I lived alone. And then when I was waving goodbye to him going to school, I was hit by a car. I can remember this. And I'm, you know, I used to cry right at the age of 30 and vividly miss him. And I would tell my mom this and explain, you know, through my teenage years. And I know it bothered my father hearing it. But, you know, that's just, you know, the draw and the missing of my other life with my other loved ones.
Sure. Well, and so, but here's the thing, at least for me, if I know that something happens after we die, and I also know that people who have crossed over can come back and talk to us and communicate with us and they're with us, doesn't that ease it and make it more comfortable? Do you find that that gives people comfort that even though these people are gone physically, that they're still there?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people I've spoken with over the years have said, you know, I'm at light. I feel good. I feel comforted because I have had that visit. I have had that time. Or they would say, how come they're not coming to me? But yet my sister sees my mom all the time. Well, you're not ready because if they did come to you, they sense when you're ready, when the time's right. You know, the easiest way to come to you, or anybody who's listening to this right now, if you're dreaming and they come to you in your dreams, that's the most easy time for them to come and visit you. Because if they showed up to you while you're sitting there reading a book and there they
are, freak out.
It's going to freak you out.
Yep. Absolutely. And are those dreams, do they have a different quality? I find that they do.
Yeah, they do. It's more, I like the word wholesome. They have a more validity to them because they're the type that stick to your ribs and they make you want to yearn for that person more. And that's a postcard you're sending to them. And in reflection of that, they're giving you those warm thoughts and feelings. And when you're sitting down watching TV and you smell that cigar and you go, I know that's my dad, you know, and he's here. Sure it is.
Right. So let's talk about ghosts for a minute. So what are ghosts? Are they souls that are trapped here? Are they souls that are sticking around? Are they souls that come and go as they please? What are they?
You know, my first television show was back in 2003. and a gentleman by the name of Keith Age seen me. He was up in Canada. And he calls me up. I don't know how he got a hold of me, but he got a hold of me. And we were talking about the paranormal field, yada, yada, yada. And we come to this term, which you're talking, ghosts. And I call it spirits or people.
Right.
It's just a different terminology. People call it entities and things as such like that. And it's just, it's amazing because we put all these terms to them. But yet, you know what? They're us. We're going to be there one day. You know, and as funny as I could say that, that's us.
Yeah, exactly. So are they people with bodies? And do you think that if somebody has gone home, crossed over, whatever you call it, are they not a ghost then? Is a ghost somebody that hasn't crossed over?
No, spirit or people, we're free will, come back and forth, and residual energy, and we've heard these terms before where it's played out over time, like, you know, the Civil War soldiers in Gettysburg, and, you know, they're playing this out because they were killed there. But in essence, that's just part of their energy that was left there at that time of their dying. You know, I'm trying to explain it in simple terms. We pass, we go. We cross that bridge. I wrote about this actually in my first book. You know how you get a foreword and it's written by somebody else?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what you're supposed to do, is get somebody, you know, well-known to do your foreword. My first book, I decided I was writing this stuff out, and I thought, what better way to say that spirit wrote this foreword? And in the book, I describe heaven. I describe every church monumental place that is reverent here on this earth that is the footstool to what is to come. And they showed me what is in there. And when I got there, I was met by a woman, and she showed me everybody milling about and what have you. It was almost like a transgression. I was showed what was going on over there, and I taught about that for years.
Cool. Cheryl, you got some questions. I understand I'm dominating again.
Oh, no. That's perfectly fine, Karen. actually, one of the questions was about the Sally House movie. So that is checked off my list. Thank you very much.
Cheryl makes lists, Robbie.
I have a list. I have a list right here in front of me. I do. I wanted to know a little bit more about the Psychic Profiler TV series, and if you have any anticipated launch date for it.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny. I just got off the phone a couple hours ago to Michael Lamport, one of the producers of the show. In 2 weeks, they're going to be at MIPCOM in France and back again. It takes time for television series to get green-lighted, especially something on this scale. We have a buyer in Europe already. We have one in Canada. And now we've got, you listed them off. I'm just going to say five. Mm-hmm. And I know there's more, but there's five major networks in the United States that are meeting with them in France. And that's... we got the call not long ago, I'd say 6 months, 7 months ago, by Oprah. So they loved it. I mean, they said, don't sell it, don't this, don't that. And it's not only that, but then we had NBC jump in the fray. We had, you know, Sci-Fi. We've got all these other major networks jumping in, and they're meeting again in France from October 1 to the 8th. And another couple great networks that I like personally jumped in, and I thought, finally... You know, here we are. So whatever they come back with and whatever is going to happen, hopefully we get the green light. It does take about a year to, and they even told me sometimes 2 years for a television series at this size to, you know, jump on and get the green light.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I'm hoping, girls, cross your fingers.
Well, yeah, good luck with that. Definitely. That's exciting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other cool stuff coming up?
Parasylum, the book. It's coming out Halloween. It's based, and it's an ode to the paranormal investigator and scientific teams that are out there.
About time somebody wrote an ode to us.
Yes. you know, I took everything that we've ever done, and I include us, right, all of us, that, you know, every asylum we've ever been in, every speakeasy we've ever done, every, you know, graveyard and whatever, and I put it all into this book and twisted with so much horror that the critics are just loving it, and it's fantastic.
Great.
Cool. So if any of our listeners want to go find out more information about you, where are they going to go?
Then go to RobbieThomas.net.
Okay. And can they also contact you on Facebook or anything else?
Yeah. And RobbieThomas.net, I think at the bottom of the first page, there's Facebook link, and there's also a LinkedIn link, and you can get me right there.
Great. So it's been it's been a pleasure having you on. Good luck with the book. Good luck with the TV series.
No, thank you.
Good luck with the trolls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love those trolls.
Well,
we all need luck with the trolls.
Of the internet, whether you want them or not, is what I've discovered. So even Cheryl said places that are, you know, as relatively non-controversial as Paranormal Underground, we wind up with a troll every now and then as well.
We do.
We do. Thank you. That means we've arrived. I actually asked one time somebody who has a pretty who's on a major ghost hunting show, and I just said, you know, how do you deal with all of this crap? Because anytime your name is mentioned, people just blow up. And he said, you know what? At least they're talking about me. So.
Well, yeah, you know what? And then another thing too. He's smiling all the way to the bank, and everybody else is sitting behind a computer all day long.
There you go. Yep. There you go. Okay, so Robbie Thomas, that's RobbieThomas.net, right?
RobbieThomas.net.
And it's RobbieThomas.net. Look him up there. Thank you so much for coming on to Paranormal Underground. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, a voice that you haven't heard in a long, long time is going to be joining us. That's right, Chad Wilson has a story to tell. So stick around, guys. Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Identification.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. I am your host, Karen Frazier. Sitting in for Rick Hale tonight is Cheryl Knight.
Hello.
Hola.
Oh my God, I hardly...
And the voice that... Oh, what?
Go ahead.
Were you hollering back?
I was.
Holla. You were so street. Aren't we street, Cheryl?
Oh, yeah. You know
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I street. Anyway, I don't even really know what street means. I also don't know what a hipster is, so there you have it. I have finally figured out what an emo is, but apparently that doesn't matter anymore. So
that's so yesterday,
behind
Karen.
The times, behind the times. So the voice that you haven't heard on Paranormal Underground Radio in a while is sitting in, and he's got a story to tell Chad.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
So you had a little bit of a paranormal adventure, I hear.
Yeah, it was different than what I usually experience.
All right, so tell us about it. Cheryl. Cheryl will try really hard not to interrupt and correct you, right, Cheryl?
That's correct. I'll try really hard.
Go, Chad.
As some of you might know, we recently took a trip to South Dakota to see Mount Rushmore. And the hotel,
that was an awesome drive.
It was 21 hours each way.
Long
and how did you
drive.
Get along in the car?
we were actually fine for the most part until we got lost on a mountain.
Let's just say we shouldn't be driving around a national park at night with buffalo. I can't even identify the right animal. With buffalo on the side of the road right there next to the car.
Deer.
So did you guys wind up back behind Mount Rushmore where the butts are?
Yes. No. Just kidding.
Well, it was cool. Even though the road was narrow and winding, we would come around a corner and there'd be the faces all lit up. And we did that five or six. It was pretty cool, even though it was scary.
Oh, it's scary.
Yeah, because it's like pitch black, and the roads are hardly big enough for two cars, or one car, let alone two.
Hmm. Okay, so I understand that you stayed in a haunted hotel.
The Alex Johnson Hotel, which is in Rapid City, South Dakota, and supposedly there's a few spirits there, one of them being the spirit of a woman who had gotten married, and did she kill herself? Cheryl?
Yes, supposedly. She
did. She committed suicide?
Yes.
So
this is the legend anyway.
Yeah. Well, okay. You know, Ghost Hunters has been there, and they've all investigated and all that stuff. And so we were in room 812, which is supposedly the room that she haunts. And we're sitting there, and we got all of our equipment set up. And, I always like to do EVP sessions just to see if we get anything. And I like to have the cameras running and stuff like that. So we're sitting there, and it's me, Cheryl, her daughter, Crystal, and her son, Corey. And me and Cheryl were over, sitting up against the wall by the closet there right by the hallway. And we're sitting there asking questions and stuff. And all of a sudden, I almost felt like ice water was going through my veins. And then I got like these goosebumps. And it wasn't just like goosebumps on the arms or the back of the neck. It was goosebumps over my whole body. And I don't think I've ever had goosebumps on my leg, but that's what I had. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, okay. And then I started feeling this coldness. And we had a temperature. We had a millimeter sitting there beside us, which has a temperature gauge on it. And it wasn't showing any change in temperature, but Cheryl felt the coldness, too.
I did. I actually felt goosebumps on my arms. Now, I didn't have the other stuff that Chad was describing, but I felt the cold and the goosebumps, and it was weird because I was monitoring the temperature gauge on the floor next to me, and it did not change at all, even though
so
we were
Chad
feeling the cold.
So Chad had goosebumps on his goosebumps, and you just had them on your arm.
Exactly.
Got it.
And I just want to make note, Chad, you forgot to
I knew you were going to do it.
Preface? Okay, I can't not do it. I just can't. You did not preface why this occurred. I think it's because he asked.
I haven't got to it yet.
Go. I'm going mute. Go ahead.
I was just getting ready to talk about that. All right, now.
When you mute, Cheryl, if you laugh really loudly, we can
Oops,
still hear
it
you.
It came through Chad's microphone.
Okay.
Sorry.
So let me explain what I supposedly forgot.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there, and we're doing an EVP session, and sometimes you sit there and you go, okay, well, if you need energy, you can take it from me or, you can take it from us, to help, communicate if you need to. And so we're sitting there, and then I said, and I've heard somebody say this before, it might have even been you, Karen, where you ask the spirit, you know, what can my spirit do to help your spirit?
I do ask that.
And it's more on a personal level to me, because it's spirit to spirit. It's not person to spirit. It's actually your spirit, which I differentiate between the spirit and who we are, you know. So it's like, what can my spirit do to help your spirit? And then I said, well, you know, if you need to do any, you know, whatever I can do to help you, let me know, which I guess I should have been more specific about what I was willing to do. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I feel this heaviness, almost like somebody was trying to sit on top of me. Almost, and I had a flash in my head. There, you know, I feel like maybe they're trying to communicate through me. And, you know, I don't want to do that because I don't want to give up that much control.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I had to apologize and say, sorry, if that's what you thought I was doing, that's not what I was trying to do. You know, I just, you know, if you want to communicate with me, you know, you can, if you can, you know, talk to the EVP recorder, you know, and I explained to him, you know, the device over here with the red lights on it. But then after I said, no, you can't do that, and, you know, and apologized, then the feeling went away. But it was like, almost like somebody was trying to sit on top of me. It's just the pressure on my shoulders and on just on my whole body eventually.
Wow.
I've never felt that before.
So did you have evidence that backed any of that up?
I haven't looked yet.
Well, Chad.
I got EVP. We actually had an EVP recorder in the closet.
Yeah?
Cheryl?
Oh, we have a lot of evidence to review.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually got downloaded the H2 stuff, so.
Okay, so now, Cheryl, what did it look like from your angle? Because you know what Chad's experience was, of course.
Right.
But as you're sitting there, what is it that you're seeing?
Well, Chad is not one, from my perspective, Chad is not one to jump to conclusions or to become irrational at any situation. So it was very interesting because I've never seen him have any type of experience like that before. And he just was describing it as it was happening. And I don't know. I mean, maybe we can, you know, revisit this after we find out if we have any audio or any video.
I really would like to, because I'd really like to see what comes of that.
Well,
and see, and Chad, given the experience you have, I don't know how you didn't listen to audio on the way home, seriously.
Well, because I was driving.
Oh, well, yeah, driving with headphones, bad.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Chad was hearing and seeing some things that I wasn't, though, which I found a little odd. Well, he was seeing.
Chad, do you think that you might have some abilities that you just haven't had the opportunity to utilize?
Well, I think everybody does to some degree. Some people just develop them over time or, you know, because when you think about it, we're all spirits anyways. You know, we all have spirits within us, so we all have access to that. It's just some people are either open to it initially, or they over time they become open to it.
Definitely.
So I don't know. I think it's a possibility.
So
see, so that's cool. Now you need to test your hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I have a question. Okay, so we were in that particular room. We actually stayed in three different quote unquote haunted rooms at the hotel. In the last room, 812, as we were talking about during that. One of the sessions where we're trying to get EVPs, noises just started popping and clicking around the room, which we hadn't noticed before. We didn't hear them after. Is it just are we more tuned in to these noises and that's why we're hearing them?
Possibly.
Or was it really somebody trying to make their presence known through these different noises?
Right there at the end, I did hear, it's like, you know how like somebody's like around a corner and you can't see them, but you can kind of hear them like they're getting ready to walk around a corner. Almost like maybe you hear like a little bit of movement. I actually heard that right there at the end of the session.
See, I Chad did something that I think that you use with caution.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know how to handle yourself, if you know how to protect yourself, if you know how to put up shields and ground and center and all of those things, it's okay. And what you did is you opened up. When you said, what can my spirit do for your spirit? That's a very open statement. I'm here to help you. I'm here to do what you need me. And I do that on investigations. And I also know how to shut that off real fast. And when I do it, even when I shut it off real fast, I pay for it the next day. I get psychic hangovers. I have migraines. I whenever we do an investigation and I go in open like that, I feel terrible the next day. And there are some things I can do that can kind of try to help with that. But yeah, I get psychic hangovers.
So, Chad, what was that? You saw an orb or some type of light shoot around that hallway where you were hearing that noise, like shuffling?
Well, I saw a scanner and I looked over and I'm just like thinking there's something down this hallway. You know, but I don't know, because the hallway, the way it is, it curves around, and then there's a door. It's a weird, weird hallway. It's like a long hallway that basically has a big 90-degree turn in the middle of it. And I'm, like, thinking, well, you know, how, like, you're like, you might be at a haunted site, and you're like, is something over there? Yeah. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking down there, and I just kind of look at the floor, and I see it looks like almost like a flash of light goes across the floor. And there's nobody over there.
Did you have video on it?
No.
Probably didn't catch that.
No, we didn't have it shooting down that way, I don't believe.
It was basically right underneath where the camera was, because we had a camera. Do we have a camera set in the hallway?
I don't remember.
I'll have to look at the...
We need to look at the evidence.
I had two cameras going through, and we might... We possibly could have caught it.
Get to your evidence, folks, and we'll talk about it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks,
and
Chad.
Here's something that was interesting that we found out, that the hotel staff had just found out about 6 months before.
Yeah.
There had been... It's just how a comment on how legends kind of sometimes get twisted and bent out of shape. But what was previously reported was that there was a woman who jumped out of the window of 812 on her wedding night at the hotel, Alex Johnson. But what what was said to have happened is that a woman jumped from the top floor to her death, and the woman in 812 had hung herself in 812. So over time, these things became one. Yeah, got mixed up.
Yeah.
And so they had recently gone to the police and gotten some type of evidence, crime scene photos of the woman who jumped from the building. But so there was some tragedy there at that location. And, you know, it was interesting to talk to the hotel staff. But hopefully we can come back, you know, in the next month or two and let you know if we have any EVPs or any video stuff.
Very good. That sounds cool. Sounds like a neat place. And if I ever get
it
a hankering to drive through South Dakota, that's not going to happen. I will stop there. What's the name of the hotel again for people listening?
Hotel Alex Johnson.
And it's in what city?
Rapid City, South Dakota.
Oh, I bet that is just... a happening hip hop and
You know
place.
What it nice. Right around there, they have, because of Mount Rushmore, they have a lot of cool things. They have a lot of caves and they have like a wild animal park you can drive through, and the bears come up to your car and try and drag you out. No, I'm just kidding. But no, they have a lot of really cool stuff up there. I would definitely recommend it.
Plus, it's beautiful.
Right. It's
okay.
Beautiful.
Well, all right. So we have
Karen.
Investigation.
Karen's like, I'm not going. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Whatever. No, I drove across southern Wyoming one time and pretty much wanted to shoot myself or the one bird that circled
over. There's not
I
much
think
there.
It was a vulture.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we had my team, South Sound Paranormal Research, had an investigation last Saturday night, and it was a team or the two people that whose house we investigated. They're joining our team. So you know, when you have a new team member, you sort of need to initiate them, right?
Sure.
So he, one of the new team members, the husband was in the house with one of our regular investigators, Billy Oberlander, and they were doing the thing that you see that they captured. They do the EVP recording and then they listen back to the EVPs, and so we can see them because we're watching them on the DVR system and we're out of the house in a trailer, and so they're listening to the EVPs, and they're all intent on it. And Patty Valdez picked up our walkie-talkie and whispered, "Get out," into it. And that dude almost hit the ceiling. It was awesome.
That's pretty funny.
I know, right? But it was really funny. Don't do that, guys. That's not nice.
Actually, it's kind of mean.
It's hilarious is what
it
is.
Funny.
But it was an interesting investigation because we met with them ahead of time. and we sort of talked to them. Mm-hmm. And I actually went back and looked at my notes, because I write notes when I talk to people, because I sort of get my impressions and I just write them down. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote on my notes, it came with them when we were talking to them ahead of time. And I said to them, I said, do you guys have anything antique-y in your house? Do you have anything that was somebody else's or something? And they were like, no, nothing. No, huh? Well, it comes out that they have a couple of weapons in their house that belong to grandfathers.
Oh.
So we're sitting there with one of these, and we've got the, we were using the ghost box, which I'm not totally sold on the ghost box, although every time we use it, I get more sold on it.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there with the ghost box and with this one weapon that I think might be attached to, that it came with them. And it says, and it was his grandfather's, mm-hmm. and it keeps saying a name, and I can't quite get it. It's like Roland or Raymond, or, I mean, it's an R first syllable and then Mund.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we couldn't quite pick it out. And then so finally the ghost box goes, Opa! And I thought, well, either we're Greek and we're toasting Opa, or it's also a name that I think Polish and Germany, they call grandfather.
They call him Opa?
Opa is, yeah. So I texted, or I didn't text him. We radioed him and after said, get out. Again, I said, was your grandfather, did you guys call him Opa? Well, yes.
Wow.
Turns out grandpa's name was Richmond.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Attached to the sword.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So, yep. And I find that interesting because I watch, what's the Zaphis one?
Haunted Collector.
I watch it kind of with a jaded eye, as I do all of those.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always think it's very convenient that they find this mm-hmm. attached to some object, blah, 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 and then what do I do?
Well, yeah.
When we first met with them was it came with them.
Yeah.
And the ghost box seems to bear that out. And we're still in evidence review as well to see if there's anything else. But, it was a fun investigation. And I always enjoy investigating. I like private residence investigations.
Yeah. And how does it feel when you are validated like that? I mean, those are pretty specific things. I mean, you know, a skeptic can come along and say, oh, Opa or Raymond or Richmond. No. Come on now.
Well, that's what no. I'm saying. Getting more and more where I really believe that the ghost box may have some validity. I know a guy who's just actually fairly new to paranormal investigation, and he posted an EVP of a ghost box session that they mm-hmm. did at a coffee shop. And he says, why do you stay here? And I swear to God, you can hear it just as clearly as clear as day. The ghost box says, because the coffee's delicious.
No way. That is funny. Oh, my gosh.
And at the time when I listened to it, I didn't know that that's where they'd been. And so I heard, because the coffee's delicious. And I said, is it because it's coffee's delicious? He said, that's what I heard. This is a coffee shop. I was like, wow.
That's pretty cool.
Well, that's because the coffee's delicious.
I think the ghost box is pretty impressive. I mean, from what I've heard from many different people, I find it very impressive myself.
Well, here's the thing. I think that the reason I think it's hit or miss is because there is a learning curve, not from the person listening, mm-hmm. but from the person speaking, as to how to manipulate those sound waves. And so I've come across it a couple of times where it's just been really good. Mm-hmm. You know, we've actually had like this full conversation. What's your name? Steve. Where are you from? Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just on and on and on. And it's really, really very clear. And other times where there's just absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what we try to do is, and we've used it up at Wellington as well. And what's cool about using it up at Wellington is it doesn't actually get any radio stations. So it just lays down static.
Okay.
So when you hear voices, it's something. And that's how we had it in this house, too. It was just laying down the static. There were no channels bleeding through. It was just shh all the way through. I mean, you can hear like a little click as it changes stations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, click, shh, click. And so you can hear that. But when you hear voices, Yeah. It's not just somebody, and you can tell anyway, at least in my experience, you can tell when it's somebody on the radio as opposed to another voice, because the voices that you hear, it's the same voice, and it comes in underneath that static. Mm-hmm. It's not that loud, you know, like when it's jumping station to station.
Yeah, so there's a difference.
Chad, I saw you said in chat you need to buy a ghost box. They are so easy to make. You can get... just get one of those Radio Shack radios. They're like $20 and clip a wire. You can find instructions anywhere. They're really easy. And then we hook ours up to really cool little speakers.
Yeah, Chad, Karen was talking about you wanting to buy a ghost box.
Yes, I need to buy one.
Did he move? Did he move his head and his
No, his but he turned us off and went back into the chat room apparently. Sheesh.
Same. You were just done with us. You've had it.
Chad.
Your story and my story doesn't matter to you.
I was listening.
Hey, Chad, tell Karen though real quick about your ghost box session at the at Waverly with
it was
Tracy.
It wasn't a ghost box. It was a ovulus.
Oh, sorry, I've confused my equipment. Well, the ovulus impresses me too, by the way.
Well, because the guy that owned it, he's Tracy Franklin from the my old group, the East Tennessee Paranormal Research Society. And he was talking to it, and Tracy lives in Greenville, Tennessee, and he's a welder. He's a supervisor over a welding area. And the ghost, he was asking about, I guess, about him, and the ghost box said Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
And then it said welder. So it was basically referring to him and things. Well, I wouldn't even think that would be in its vocabulary, because I thought it only had like a 500-word
vocabulary. Does make you think when those things happen. I know I had with the ovulus on my iPhone one night. It said Jim Hurt, and I thought, "Ooh, I wonder if Jim's hurt." Yeah. And I laughed because it's a toy.
Yeah.
Then I got home and Jim was hurt.
Wow.
So those things certainly make you wonder. And while I can't say 100% that they're doing something, it's pretty convincing when you start to see some of the stuff that comes out of them. And I know that, like, the ghost box kid, Phil Summers, believes in them 100%. And like I say, their stock is rising with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
so somebody just said, which wire?
Yeah.
What I'm telling you is that you can find instructions online.
On YouTube, right?
Yeah. The one that I really like, it's a Jensen, a little armband radio.
Yeah.
And like a jogging radio or something, it's really small. Mm-hmm. And I know that when you cut the purple wire, but if you just type in Jensen Ghost Box, you should be able to find instructions for it online. And it's and even the Radio Shack, when you hack the Radio Shack one, you cut like one wire. It's really easy.
So, don't they make some now that actually don't have all the radio crap? It actually just has the words come out. Sometimes it's hard to hear what they're saying.
That could be, yeah, that's the one thing I will say about the ghost box sections, that you have to really rest your ears, because there is fatigue associated with that.
Yeah.
You listen, you get sort of listening fatigue. Oh my gosh, I just realized what time it is. So it is, we have 5 minutes left. Cheryl.
You want to know who's going to be on next week, don't you?
I kind of do.
See, I'm slightly psychic.
You can do it. Sidekick. That's what
psychic. We have Kim and Chris from the Research Institute of the Paranormal on next week, September 20th. And we have a few other cool guests, but I'll tell you about them next week. So tune in next week, September 20th, please.
Next week, September 20th, and I'm headed up to Wellington on a day next week. Looking forward to that.
Cool.
Do you know, real quick before we sign out, do you know that there was a group up at Wellington, and four of the members of the group heard a voice say, "Where's Karen?"
No. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Mm-mm.
That is awesome.
They loved me.
Did they get it on tape by any chance?
I don't know.
Oh.
An audible. It was
a disembodied voice.
Thank you. Yeah. Audible. That's something totally different.
They miss you.
Yeah.
Aww.
All right. So, any final thoughts? Cheryl, thank you so much for sitting in for Rick tonight. He will be back next week, right?
Yes. He'll be back next week. And thanks to Robbie Thomas. Appreciate his time and explaining to us all that he has going on. And thanks to you, Karen. Glad you're back. And thanks to all our listeners.
It's so good to be back.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, I think this is a good show.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Everybody have a great evening. Thanks for listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. Next week, will we be back 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the flyover states. See you then. Good night.
Night, night.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.